Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. Hope you had a wonderful week. I really thank God for Sunday. It's a really refreshing time for us. Amen. I don't know about you, but for me, this is refreshing. I have been listening to Christian music the most the last few days. Just the most. My eardrums have been whacked in. And I just kept listening. Good. There's nothing else I could do. Eh? Sitting in the ward almost from about 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night or sometimes till about 10 o'clock. What do you do? This, I can't disturb the nurses. They'll inject me with some medication. But I listen and I talk. And I talk. I went around talking to all the patients. There's a lot of patients there. Young people with cancer, 22 years old, and life with so much hope. And just talking to people and advertising who I am. And I keep telling them I'm a pastor and I brought cards. And, you know, just I honestly capitalize on this opportunity. Because they're sitting down there. The lady told me, she said, I've been here 12 months. And every time I come on a Thursday, she said, I don't know what to do. And I gave her a little track. I said, maybe this will undo what you need to do for life. It's really frightening. And I look at her and say, and that young girl, 22 years, said, I'm a sportswoman. I love sports. But she's stage 4 cancer. You wonder, where is the fairness? And as I was sitting there and reading my Bible, this word came to me, the grace of God. It's not what you do. It's not what you eat. It's not how you live your life. It's got nothing. It's only the grace of God. The grace of God. Abba, Father, thank you for making us recipients of your grace. We don't deserve it, but you gave it to us. It's an unmerited favor of yours towards us, Lord. Just bless our hearts today, Lord, as we go through this time. May we appreciate everything that life brings to us, O Lord. May we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, knowing, God, that our life's in your hand. Our journey is plotted and directed by you. Our existence breathes your life, Lord. Bless us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I just thought of this, our inadequacy, God's sufficiency. As I sat down in that ward and I looked at those and I said, you know, in my heart I said, I'm a pastor. What can I do? I can track. I can pray. That's about my limitations. I can't do much. And that same question resonated in my heart. Why, Lord? How do I bring about some clarity to them? How can I help that person sitting there? You feel you are just helpless. Amen? Or you can become judgmental. Thank God I'm okay. Hallelujah. Thank God, man, you got cancer. Good on you. You can almost become, because I hear people talking this, oh, and maybe you should take, you know, can you imagine somebody visits the ward and tell her you should take care of yourself, what you eat? I almost want to eject you from the ward. Now you're telling what we ate. The next one comes, how you live. Hey, guys, please, we are not the author of life. He's the author of life. And whatever she's going through, whatever, it tells me as a husband, a father, and a pastor, I am helpless. Only He is my help. Amen? It's only the grace of God imputed in me that I'm spared this thing. Nothing. I didn't do anything good. Huh? I actually, when I talked to her, I said, if anyone should get cancer, it should be yours truly. It's the grace of God. You know, you sit here this morning, let me remind you, you are here because of His grace. Amen? You are not here because you want to be here. You are here because the grace of God allowed you to be here today. Amen? Thank God for this church. If you don't come to church, you really don't appreciate the grace of God. Amen? I enjoy church. It's also for me a break away from the monotony of the week, friend. I'm just tired also. I can hardly put my mind on a thing. Huh? I'm sitting there, this, that, and these doctors come and think I'm also a doctor. They're giving me the rundown about my... And I said, please, man. I look like a doctor, I know, but I'm not one. the terms they use, and they said, just look out for this. And I think, after he's gone, I can't remember the word. And I wait for Anna to come. And Dr. Anna rocks up, and I can. But you know, then I sat there, and I said, what can I do? I talk to her, I hold her hand, laugh, make jokes. Sometimes I joke until I got run out of jokes already. But you know, friend, I just wanted to bring that we will constantly be lacking. Amen? There's never a day, a moment, a time in your life where you will have everything. You will, Jesus said, you will always have the poor with you. Not as in poverty of wealth, but the poverty of life. Amen? And so I want to bring an encouragement that don't think when you're going through this, either God hates you, God's angry with you, God's judging you. No, there's nothing wrong, friend. If you have done wrong, there's a time to repent. But I want to talk this morning about 2 Corinthians 3:5. If you have your Bible, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Please embrace that, acknowledge that, tattoo that on your heart, engrave it, you know, that grace is from God. Sufficiency is from God. I am sufficient in Him, and He in me gives me the sufficiency of life. Right? Not your bank account, not the quality, the friends you have, not that the postal code you live in, nothing. It's if Christ is with you, or Christ is in you, you have everything. Amen? Isn't that good? The grace of God. I just want to go to the next slide. You know, Jehovah El Shaddai means the God that is more than enough for us. He's more than enough. You know, I was reading the Old Testament and I learned that Jehovah El Shaddai is the God that is more than enough. Not just a God of service, more than enough. Wow. That name stuck into my name now, El Shaddai. My God, that is more than enough for me. In all of Israel's time, in the time of captivity, when Moses approached Pharaoh and brought the word that God was going to deliver his people, the people rejected, Pharaoh rejected, but El Shaddai promised, I'll take you out into the promised land. More than enough. I am a God that gives you more than enough. How many of you saw that movie, Oliver? The boy who cried more, more. Constantly we are crying to God every day, more love, more this, more that, more this. He said, I've given you more than enough. What more do you want? I've given you life eternal. I've given you the forgiveness of sin. I've given you the redemption of your life. I've given you hope. What more do you want in this life? More than enough. There is a constant greed and hunger and discontentment in our lives that we want more. Godliness with great contentment is one thing we need, friend, to be contented in life. Let me just assure you, the life you're living now is not going to be forever. There's an expiry date. You can acquire all you want in this life. There's an expiry date. You can mess up as much wealth you want. There's an expiry date. You can acquire as much land, property. You can go for the whole lot. There's an expiry date on your life. And you know, the beauty of it is nothing is going to go from here there. So learn to appreciate. Learn, I think, in the days we wake up is to say, God, thank you for all that you give me today. I may not be as good as that person, but I have more than enough. I have you. This eyes that we have is good and bad. Sometimes it creates a lot of contention, comparison. Wow, Michael looks so handsome. I wish I was handsome, but actually I'm handsomer than him. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, that person drives such a beautiful car. Oh, that person gets the faith. We are constantly looking there. When the Bible says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the completer of your life and faith. Grace. Jehovah El Shaddai. Remember this. If you forget the whole sermon, remember El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. And do you know that we have El Shaddai in our lives? Amen. God is with me. Hallelujah. God lives with me. It's no longer I that live this life, but Christ lives in me. Therefore, I can do all things and live all of life because God lives with me. El Shaddai. Hallelujah. But this morning, I just wanted to think about this. I was in the hospital. I didn't have time to do the sermon, so I'm doing it on my telephone. I'm doing it. And I just spent some thoughts as I was reading the story of the prodigal son. You know the prodigal son? Some of us are prodigals here this morning. God is waiting for you to come home. Though you think you're home, but you're out there somewhere. And as the prodigal son came home, listen, the father stood there and greeted him. When I looked at that portion of scripture which I'm looking now, I saw for a moment grace met him. It was the grace of God in the heart of the Father that embraced him. It is grace embracing him. The law would have said, stone him, persecute him. He ran away. He took your wealth. Persecute him. But grace said, no, welcome back, my son. And that's how the grace of God operates in our lives. Embraced him with tears, with gladness of heart. Embrace his son. When the law said you should punish him, he's a criminal, he stole your wealth, put him in jail. Let the cause of law take its action on him. But grace embraced him. And then as I looked through there, I thought, when the father embraced him, the law would have seen the son and said, don't get close to him. But the father kissed him. You know, there's a holy kiss in the Bible. The kiss of the father was a sealing that you are still my son. There's no break. It's still my son. But the law would have said, smite him. Push him away. Grace. The grace of God. But let me tell you, don't take grace for granted. Even though God is gracious, let me tell you, someone said, if God is so gracious, why does he send people to hell? Let me bring clarity to that. God never sends anyone to hell. You send yourself to hell. Amen? He, right to the very door of hell, his grace is for you, but you choose not. So he never sends nobody to hell. You send yourself to hell. He's a gracious God. He stands at the very door of hell to stop you in spite. You know, I like in Romans 5, he says, even though we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a supreme act of grace. A supreme act that no human being could offer. Even though you were playing with sin, living in sin, enjoying, worshipping that sin, he died for you. His act of grace was for you. But you know, one thing grace cannot do is grace cannot compel you to receive it. Grace will not compel you to receive it. It's a choice you make. Isn't it true? Grace is a gift. What is grace? Can I have your next slide? It's the free and unmerited favor of God. Free. No need to pay. No need to earn. No need to slog. No need to work. Free. Oh man, Asians will line up there. I got a bag. Can you fill my bag with grace? Free. And yet we don't take it. Woe be to you. Free. Grace is free. You don't have to work. Man, I don't know if there's anyone in this world will give you a free ride in life. No one. Not even your family can afford that. Because by doing that, they spoil you. Isn't that true? So sometimes I feel God spoils us. He gives us free gifts. What if he decides to take away that gift? Can you ever think for a moment what would happen to your life? It's a free gift of God's favor. I like that word favor. I love that word favor. God gives us favor, but God has no favorite. Amen? We are all his favorites. He gives us favor, but God doesn't operate on this. He's got favoritism. I like me so more than Calvin because he looks so handsome. Calvin, not so. Hey, sorry, he's here. Hallelujah. God is not a God that exercises favoritism, but he's a God that lavishes favor upon you. Think about it. Freely, we as parents, human, we sometimes, or most of the time, exercise favoritism in our choices, our preferences, our biasness. We exercise favoritism. But God doesn't. He is a God that grants us favor. You know, in life, favor is most needed in life. Like when you go for a job, it's not what you know, who you know. You hope the favor opens the door of opportunity into an interview, an interview into a job. Isn't that true? Favor. You know, when I look at what Anne is going through and this the whole, I tell you, it's truly been an act of favor of God. Seriously, the amount of money we would have paid out had it not been for the favor of God. Even working through non-believers and God's favor penetrates anything God can use to bring favor. It's the favor of God that allowed us to enjoy so much of the care and love. You are sitting in the favor of God. Don't walk out of it, church. Please don't. Don't ever walk out. The prodigal son had the favor of the father. He chose to walk out. Yet the father did not cancel or remove that grace. He still loved him. That's the picture of the love of God for us. Amen? You sin, he loves you. You don't repent, he loves you. You go to hell, he still loves you. Think about it. His love cannot change. As much as he loves you, he cannot stop you from going to hell if you choose. So in that sense, grace has limitations. Grace won't stop you from going to hell. Grace would woo you away, but you can choose to go. Isn't that true? The other day, I was sitting in the hospital, and when Anne was already drowsy with the medication, so I started wandering around the ward. I walked from this ward to that ward. So, I know which door, which toilet, how to go. I walked around. Nothing to do. And then I met a person who became my friend now. And then he was talking to me. He left the church. He said, I don't believe in the church. I said, why? He said, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. I said, man, I'm a church. Are you calling me a hypocrite now? I almost like confronted him. I don't know him from Adam, but he said this. I said, are you calling me? I said, are you calling me a hypocrite? He said, no, church people. I said, I'm a church people also. I said, I'm also from the church. I said, why? Then he told me about things. And I said, good. It's okay. Take your eye off the church. Look at Jesus. I said, you won't see any hypocrisy. I said, we are all people. We fail. We all fail. We are all humans. But you know, the idea of coming to church is not about people. It's about him. So I gave him a card. I said, come to our church. We love you, I said. Not that only we are hypocrites, you are also a hypocrite, I told him. Honestly, I told him, say, you are also a hypocrite. But actually, my size, maybe he didn't talk. He's lying down on the bed. I'm standing. But no, but I said, you are a hypocrite. You throw stones to me. You look at your... What did the Bible say? Don't look at the speck of dust in people's eyes. You got planks. But anyway, I talked to him. So after we became friends, I went to make a coffee for him. Then I forgot Anne woke up ready. She's looking for where her husband. Then the nurse said, he's sitting there. And I said, you know, then I thought, friend, people don't realize the grace of God is not subjected to how we behave. Do not let the lives of other people subject you to the grace of God. He's above all, man. He's above all. Today, the patient is going home. I got his number, my name. He lives in Mitcham area, which is not far from us. I asked him, can I visit you? He said, I know he got some things at home he don't want me to see. But now I got his address. I told him, I'll just pop in one day. Hey, hi, I'm around the area. Can I see you? I won't be a hypocrite. I come clean. I want to see you. How are you? But friend, I realize this. People don't realize we gather here not because I like you, you like. We gather here because it's the grace of God that draws me to him. You know, if you take your eyes out of this and look at the grace of God, you enjoy your Christian journey. You must. You know, if you're not enjoying your Christian life, something is wrong with you, not with him. How can the grace of God go wrong? But it's an unmerited favor. God wants to give you his favor today. In order to enjoy his favor, you got to be in a circumstance, then you can enjoy it. In order to enjoy healing, you must be sick. Isn't that true? If he's not sick, then what is healing? If you're not sick, why see the doctor? Unless you love the doctor, or you are falling in love with the doctor, or the doctor is your father, mother, or wife, or I don't know, but you don't see the doctor because you don't need. But when you are sick and down and weak, that's when the grace of God becomes your strength. For when I am weak, you're my strength. Next one. What's the difference between grace and mercy? We sometimes interlink this, but we don't realize that both of it have their unique meaning. Grace is God gives you unmerited. Mercy you deserve, but he restrained. Grace, he release. Mercy, he restrained judgment so that grace can flow in. Amen? Isn't that good? God have mercy on us. And he said, I've always had mercy. I held back your judgment that grace apply. You know, it's just like this at the traffic light. Mercy stops there. Grace flows. Because constantly you need the grace. God is extending grace to the unworthy. Have you ever prayed for grace in the morning? Amazing grace, Lord. That I go out today, Lord, grant me favor. Just grant me favor in all that I do. When God's favor is on you, nothing can stop what God wants to do in your life. But let me assure you that if you abuse that grace, there's consequence. There's consequence. Don't abuse the grace he gave you. I don't like the hyper grace. Everything is grace. One day I had somebody tell us, many years ago, he said, Pastor Miso, you're not walking with God. I said, why? Because he said, you are not prosperous. I said, has grace got anything to do with prosperity? He said, yes. He said, grace is the total sum of prosperity. Because you got no sickness, you got it. I said, where in the Bible, can you please show me? Maybe I like that verse, you know, I also want to be prosperous. And I said, no. The more meaning of grace is because there is more sadness and sorrows and pain, that's where grace comes. Where God, grace is prosperity. Make me feel so guilty like I'm not walking with the Lord. But grace has got nothing to do. Grace is the kindness of God. To say, I know you hurt me, but I still love you. I know you cheated that blind man, but I still love you. Give him back the $50. Let 1 John 1:9 kick in. Acknowledge you're wrong, repent, give it back. Grace and mercy. You daily, we should thank God that his grace and mercies are on your life. You know, little do we know until we meet the Lord that maybe today you were supposed to meet a severe accident that would have changed the course of your life. But the grace of God stopped it. You don't know. And you're complaining, why my life this way? He stopped it. Someday when he replays your life there and you see that moment and you say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we don't see the grace of God in action. But the grace of God is constantly with us. Isn't that true? You know, the first day I took Anne to the hospital, I rushed in and I parked at, what's your hospital called again? Edwards, yeah. The car park was $60. I said, say again? I just took her in on Thursday, Friday. I said, $60 for what? The lady said, you park. I said, this got premium parking. I said, I went upstairs. Then this lady, old lady saw me. Sir, what's wrong with you? I said, no, I'm okay. I thought she asked me, am I a patient? I said, no, I'm seeing my wife. She said, no, what's wrong with you? I said, the car park. She said, why you park in the car park? I said, they say car park, so I park. How much? I said, she said, come, I'll help you. And then she gave me, said, don't worry. Next time, don't go in park. Come and see me first. I can help you. From $60, pay $16. Still not happy. Why so expensive? But then I learned, and that lady was so nice. After that, I found out this old lady and a group of ladies go to the church, and they come every Thursday and help all the patients. When you're sitting down, they talk to you, they massage you, they make coffee for you, they make biscuits, they do anything you want. And I said, Lord, you're so good. Learn a lesson. $16 is a cheap lesson. Okay, I learned already. Now I park far away and walk. Yes, I tell you, friend, sometimes you don't know. The grace of God operates in the tangible face and life. God's grace is not some mystic thing. It operates through a tangible face and a life that exercises grace. Mother Teresa wrote, I don't think there's anyone who needs God's help and grace as much as I do. She worked in Calcutta with all the poor people in India. Sometimes I feel so helpless and weak. I think that is why God uses me. Listen, nice, huh? Because I'm helpless and weak. That's why God uses me. Because I cannot depend on my own strength. I rely on Him. 24 hours a day. If the day had even more hours, then I would need the His help and grace. I depend. Oh, man. Some of us walk about independent. Some of us can reach a point, feel that, I'm okay, I can take care of my life. She says, I depend on Him. 24-7. How many of us 24-7 depend on God? And I am weak. That's why He uses me. Wow. Therefore, maybe that be the principle why some of us, God, are not using us. Because we haven't reached a point of weakness. We haven't reached a point of brokenness. We haven't reached a point of desperation. I need You, Lord. We still think we can operate on our own strength, our own system, our own. We think I can make it. Actually, you cannot, if not for Him. Maybe we need to think about it. Mother Teresa, she worked in Calcutta. I think you'll read her life. Man, such a. Any of you know this girl? What's her name? She worked in Hong Kong. I worked with her, Jackie Pullinger. Have you heard Jackie Pullinger? I tell you, the day Jackie Pullinger went to Hong Kong, she looked such a beautiful young English girl. So beautiful. She could be a model. She told her parents, God wants me to go to Hong Kong, the walled city. Some of you were not born that time, the walled city. Yeah? And the parents said, are you sure? You can't speak Cantonese. You don't look Chinese. You look one white Kuilo. You want to go there? She said, yes. And she went to Hong Kong and she worked with a drug addict. You know, to go in, any of you been to the walled city those days? You cannot go in. Because the walled city lived a law that is lawed by China, not Hong Kong. Hong Kong police cannot go in and arrest you. All the criminals in Hong Kong gather there. The cops can't go in and touch you because the law of the land is China. And she went there and she worked with addicts and she worked and she worked and she spent. She spoke beautiful Cantonese. She preached in Cantonese. Even the Cantonese jaw dropped. She learned the language. She learned. And then one day, God told her, Jackie, your day is coming up. She said, why? He said, the walled city is going to come down. And Jackie told the Lord, no way. The Lord said, I granted you the vision to see with your eye this wall come down. And the day came and she cried. She saw Hong Kong clean up that place, which is called Kowloon City now. And Jackie, in all her years, she married an ex-druggie who died of cancer. She wrote Chasing the Dragon. She wrote a beautiful book, Chasing the Dragon. But she worked her life there. And you know, to be there, if you don't get stabbed, you don't get robbed, you're a fortunate being. Because they rob you, they kill. She stayed there for years. She became a Pentecostal pastor. Today she's so fiery. Sometimes I don't sit in front when she's preaching. I sit center because she's so loud. Like Calvin Sim, so loud. I love my brother. You know, normally you don't pick on somebody you don't want. You get into trouble. I don't like trouble. I'm a peace. Like, peace, brother, no law. No war. Just make peace. Hallelujah. But Jackie built a... You know, I met up with her. I sat down with her, just listening to her heart. And she tells you the testimonies of God's grace. You just want to cry and melt there. And I thought, only when you put yourself in a position of vulnerability, you see the grace of God. Jackie's a beautiful girl. She comes around Australia and she preaches. But no, I saw that. I said, How many of us, we sing, I love you, Lord. I give my life to you. I offer you my life, a living sacrifice. Would do that. We say, but we don't do. When I was going through with Anne and I looked at this and I said, God, what is our greatest need now in the hospital? It's not about money. Yes, I'm financially short with all the bills. But is money really the thing? And we said, is friends that? Yeah, we got good friends. We get calls from overseas. We get prayers. And then the Lord said, you know what you need more? It's my grace and favor. You know why? Because as you go through, you know, sometimes Anne go through different emotions with the chemo, and she go through some emotions that really goes deep into the core, and she asks questions, and all we ask God, the grace of God. The grace of God. That even though you walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I'm there. I'm there. I lay a table, I feed you in that presence. It's to know that God's grace is there. Remember your life. We will definitely go through the next one. I like what Paul says. Paul expresses his dependency when he writes about the thorn in his flesh. He said, 3 times I prayed. The thorn's still there. Paul said, I cried 3 times. And then I've learned to, after the crying, Paul has learned to, and I said, my grace is sufficient. Listen, God, Jesus speaking here, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, listen, is made perfect in your weakness. So if you are weak, God is working something. If you're going through a tough time, review. Why are you going through? If you caused it, repent. If you didn't, God is taking you on a journey. Sometimes we blame God for things we do. And Satan stands there and clap. Go on, mate. Carry on. You know, there's a way of bringing sin. They said there's 3 ways sin come into our life. One, the father of sin, Satan. True. 2, circumstances around us, we go and get involved. Thirdly, self, I invite sin. Come, come. Let's dance sins. Let's do this. We invite. And then when we get hurt, we say, God, how come? How come? So every act of struggle and weakness, review. Why am I here? If you know you've not done anything you're going through, now change your mindset. God is perfecting me through this time. God is working His plan. Maybe God is strengthening you for a call. I always look at Sean, I say, definitely God has a call on his life. You can run, you can't hide. You can wait, he doesn't wait. But when God puts a call, God allows you to go through. God prepares. And Paul said 3 times, I cry, I can't get that out. So now Paul has developed a new theology, a theology of acceptance. I accept this and I go on in life because the grace of God allows me to go on. Isn't it good? Don't reject always. Sometimes God puts permanent there. Sometimes we have a wrong notion, I want to be perfect means, no, God's perfection is you have the thorn. I love roses, but roses got thorn, huh? Those days I was courting my wife and I forgot Valentine's. She was not married, but I forgot Valentine's Day in dinner. I was going to meet her. And I walked past somebody, so I just plucked the rose. But I forgot the rose had a thorn. And after plucking, the thorn got stuck in my finger. And I didn't feel, I brought the rose, I gave to her. She said, hey, this rose looks fresh. I said, yeah, fresh from the garden. But actually somebody's garden, eh? And after a few days, my finger became almost septic. Thorn stuck inside. And then I learned, don't go and steal roses, huh? Buy your own. So the thorn got stuck right, and I didn't know it went inside my hand. But that was not gracious, huh? You know, when I read this in the ward, and I just went through, I did a meditation, and just quiet time in the ward, and I said, God, thank you, I'm in this weakness now. I thank you, I'm in this valley. This is not a valley of doom or gloom. But this is a valley where I have the opportunity to sit with you, Lord, as you strengthen me. Let me tell you, in moments like this, don't run to friends to cling on. Run to God. In moments like this, don't bang your fist against the wall. Don't punch the TV. Just go before God. Run to God. Run to God. I tell you, when I sat there and I talked to Anne, I just prayed for her. You know, I feel so refreshed. Even though I think the world has gone all crushing around me, suddenly I realize I'm above the crush. God allows us to go through these gracious times of learning. Amen? Lastly, I love what Matthew Henry. I love Matthew Henry's books. I love these books. He says, those whom Christ feeds, he fills. He never leaves you with room for just one more piece of pie. When he feeds you, he feeds you. There is always a super abundance. He always leaves you 12 baskets. That's how generous he is. Amen? God is the God that is more than enough. He gave them bread and fish, yet he gave them 12 baskets more to go home. He gave them more than enough to eat. They couldn't eat, yet he said, take home. Wow, tapau bungkus. That's a Malaysian word, huh? Pack it all, man. Bring it all home. He gives you more. You ask for one, he gives you two. You ask for two, he gives you four. He gives you more. And yet, we have the audacity to complain. The arrogance of our heart is, Lord, not enough. I gave you more than you can have. I gave you extra. Grace is that extra. He saved you, he redeemed you, he washed you, purified you, and he gives you grace like nothing happened in your life. Are you happy with that grace? I love grace, you know. You know, grace is such a good reminder when you go through life. As you aspire the things of the world, may your spiritual heart aspire for the grace of God. As you slog out in that world to achieve, may you realize you need not slog out. You have achieved in the presence of God. The grace is there for you. I am what I am in you. I'm love beyond all minds understanding by the love of God. The Father lavishes his love on me. Amen? God uses superlatives and adjectives like, I lavish abundantly on you. I give you life in abundance. John 3:16. I give you abundantly. I came that you may have life abundant. John 10:10. But God always gives us more than enough. Why are we still complaining? Are we never satisfied? What more do you want? Let me ask you, what if God turned the table and he keep asking you every day for more? What would you say of him? A very demanding God. Non-compassionate. No understanding. But he's a God that asks nothing. Who never asks anything. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. You are the apple of my eye. Your name is engraved in the palms of my hand. You call and I will respond. How good a God. The grace of God. Church, we live in a time where the grace of God is most needed. What the world needs is grace of God. Amen? Maybe as a Christian, we can live out grace for them. We can live out that they may see that our God is a God of graciousness. There is, you know, I was going through an article. There is no religion out there. Listen, there's no religion out there that whose God or whose leader or whose deity offers you this kind of merit, unmerited love of God. None. You have to make penances. You have to say the rosary. You have to offer this. You bring this. You got to bring the works before you get anything. Man, for me, I don't bring anything. I get the works. Hallelujah. It's the grace of God. This is the God we have. Love him. Love him with all your heart. God is not a seasonal God. I love you when things are good, when things are bad. Nah. He's a God that is constant. Amen? Learn to trust God. Maybe as a church, may we learn to exercise grace to one another. Be understanding. Not everybody is perfect like you. Not everybody is good as you. In fact, your goodness is subjective. Because the Bible says none is good or righteous except the Lord makes us good and righteous. Amen? But as a church, I pray. I want to thank the church especially for each one of you who have been gracious to us in this current situation. I only see it as a season. It's not going to be forever. That's what I told Anne yesterday before leaving. I said, it's going to be over. Just as I leave to go home, I said, there'll day come when this will leave us and our lives will go back to what God has called us to do. And thank you for each of you, your prayers, your emails. Bring some beautiful, nourishing food. Hallelujah. But thank you for your love for us. We are more than blessed from what you have blessed us. And thank you for continuing to praying for us. we are living in a time where God is so good to us, even though we are going through so much. We are getting so much of favors which we don't deserve. But God has been good. And continue to pray that for those, even Pastor Neville is going through a bit of a time, may the grace of God strengthen you. May your faith empower you, because you're going to cross that day. We'll all cross it. Amen? Thank you, church. Let's stand. Let's give the Lord a good time. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, our hearts cry out. Abba, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. A million thank yous means nothing, Lord, if our lives don't live that thank you for you to see, Lord. And we say thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your arms that embrace each one of us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for being our God. For being El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough for each one of us. Bless us, Lord. Bless our families, our loved ones. Bless our health, our finances. Bless our work, Lord. Just, Lord, may we be living testimonies and epistles of the love of God, that the world may see Jesus in us. In your name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.